Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all again today here. You know, after a big event like we had last week, you never know who's going to show up the next day. And what a joy it is to see you all and have fellowship with you all here today. What a joy. What a joy. Amen.
Amen.
So last week we went through in our sermon series here the first chapter of the book of Ruth. This Old Testament book is a great narrative, really, of love demonstrated. We believe it was written by the prophet Samuel somewhere around 1046 B.C. 1046, that's 1,000 years before Christ and 2,000 years since then. So 3,000 years ago. Today we're going to continue where we left off. Now the second chapter of Ruth. Each of these 4 weeks we're going to be going over one more chapter of this great story. You won't want to miss any of them, but if you would like to catch up for those who wasn't here last week, you can always listen to them online. So everybody please hold up a Bible. Hold up, reach in your pews and hold up a Bible. Very good. And again, we are on Ruth 2. Ruth 2 on page 229 of the Pew Bibles of what we call the inspired and the infallible living Word of God. But first let us blanket this time we have together in prayer. Father God, we ask that you watch after us. Lord, just inspire us, Lord, to come together as a congregation through these words that we have of Ruth. Lord, this book is covered with your love. And Lord, I pray today that we capture that for ourselves. Because Lord, in this world there is a lot of darkness and a lot of sorrow. And we need that love. And Lord, we love you more than anything else. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So in chapter 1, as an overview of Ruth, God's hand kind of fell hard upon Naomi and her family. A famine in Judah, a move to a foreign land of Moab. Anybody ever been to Moab? I don't think so. The death of her husband, Naomi's husband, the marriage of her two sons to foreign wives, and then the death of those two sons. One blow after another caused Naomi to declare herself at the end of this chapter, "The Lord's hand has turned up against me." And you ever been there? You ever felt like the Lord's hand has been against you? But in fact, she was so oppressed that she couldn't even see the signs of hope that were starting to materialize in front of her as the chapter concluded. She knows that there was a God, though. But she also knows that he has dealt bitterly with her through this ordeal. Her life seems so tragic as the chapter concludes. God lifts up the famine, though, and opens a way for Naomi to return home. He gives her an amazing, beloved, devoted daughter-in-law, Ruth, to accompany her back to Bethlehem. And at the end of the chapter of Ruth, and the bitter Naomi, mother-in-law, settled in Bethlehem. Naomi says to the townspeople, "The Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back now empty." Oh, you can just feel her grief as that chapter closed. As we discovered last week, Ruth was a huge blessing to Naomi, though, her mother-in-law. Ruth was a truly wonderful, inspirational, godly example of a woman of faith. The takeaways for last week were, one, God is in control. God moves in mysterious way, it says. Don't give up is the third takeaway. This book of Ruth was written so that we might abound in our hope. Today we're going to see now in chapter 2, the mercy of God becomes so obvious that even Naomi can't help but to recognize it. Maybe some of you here today have found yourself in either Ruth's or Naomi's situation. We will go through the ups and downs of life. That's just guaranteed. That will happen. Where are you today is a question that you might want to ponder. Are you on the top of the mountain in your faith? Or are like Ruth? Or are you at the bottom of the mountain like Naomi? My hope is that in this message today, you will also find hope. Chapter 2, verse 1 starts off like this. It says, "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. He was a prominent man of noble character from Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. Ruth, the Moabitess, asked Naomi, the mother-in-law, "Will you let me go into the fields and gather fallen grain behind someone whom I find favor?" Naomi, the mother-in-law, answered her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So Ruth left and entered the field to gather grain behind the harvesters. She happened to be in the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was from Elimelech, her father-in-law's family. So as we just pause there, as we talked about last week, God gives us family. He gifts us family. And family is supposed to take care of family. It don't always work that way. We all know. But that's God's intention for families, that you stick together, especially during the hard times. Naomi returned to the land of her late husband in hopes to acquire some charity from them. I can tell you that everyone here at some time in their life will need charity of some type, whether it be financial or physical or emotional or maybe even all three at the same time. We will all experience times of trouble, times, hard times, and maybe even you're experiencing some hard times right now and we just don't know it. Sometimes when we come to church, we put on this, you know, nice clothes. Maybe not real nice, but we put on nice clothes and a nice manners, and our needs and our troubles are camouflaged. So God gives us, though, family to help us get through the tough times. Of course, it humbles us when this happens, but it is unfortunately, though, inevitable. At some point in your life, you will need other people's help. The Bible talks about this in many ways, saying that we should take care or treat our family with compassion when this happens. Compassion. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul wrote, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You getting the picture here? Paul also wrote, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to practice godliness towards their own family first and repay their parents, for this pleases God." You getting it? Family is an instrument that God is using to bless your family and others. We need to be taking care of each other, and especially our own families. That is God's will for us. And notice in our text here how Ruth immediately asks her mother-in-law if she would let her go and work. Ruth not only didn't want to be a burden, she wanted to be part of the solution. She wanted to pick up the grain on the field that the harvesters had left behind. She wasn't asking for a handout. She wasn't asking for charity. She wanted to work. She was willing to work for her own food. We should all want to be contributing members of society, contributing to the welfare of ourselves and that of our families. So many times these days, there's people who just refuse to support even their own children, even their own families. And it breaks our hearts when we see it. I pray it's not none of you. We need to be looking after our family. There's another great lesson from this small block of verses, though, that we should be aware of, and we should be caring for those who don't have. Those that are struggling to support their families, we should be looking after them, keeping our eyes open to their circumstance. I think of people who have had maybe even two jobs to make ends meet, maybe even three jobs to make ends meet. I think of, like, for instance, the waitress that I have at Denny's, the two of them, they have three jobs just to make ends meet. People who are rendering service to me. In Ruth's situation, it was actually a law for the harvesters to leave behind some for the others. The Old Testament book of Leviticus, Moses wrote, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of the field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing amongst you. I am the Lord your God." So God thought it was so important to make sure that we understand that idea that he wrote it in Leviticus there for us to understand here today. This same principle applies for us still today, though. God doesn't want us to be so much of a tightwad like the Scrooge. You watch the Scrooge and it's many different versions of the movie on TV. Or he's such a... What's that?
I live with one.
You live, ha ha, no, you got the Bank of Bob, Lisa. Who are you fooling over there? Bob, Bank of Bob, anyway. No, God doesn't want us to be a Scrooge, a tightwad, they used to call it all back then. I don't even know what they call it anymore. He wants to give charity to others, leave some behind from the muchness that he provides. Like we see here in Ruth, the little left behind by the harvesters can make a big difference for some folks. Think about that as you're holding on too tight. Verse 4 continues, though, in this book. It says, later, when Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, he said to the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they replied. Boaz asked his servant who was in charge of the harvesters. "Whose young woman is this?" he said. The servant answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the territory of the Moab." She asked, "Will you let me gather fallen grain amongst the bundles behind the harvesters?" She came and has been on her feet since early morning, except that she rested a little in the shelter. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, don't go and gather grain in another field, and don't leave this one. But stay here close to my female servants. See which field that they are harvesting and follow them. Haven't I ordered the young men not to touch you? When you were thirsty, go and drink from the jars that the young men have filled." She fell down, face down, bowed to the ground and said to them, "Why have I found favor with you so that you notice me, although I am a foreigner?" Verse 11 continues, says, Boaz answered her, "Everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me, how you left your father and your mother and your native land, and how you came to a people that you didn't previously know. May the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to for refuge. My Lord," she says, "I have found favor with you, for you have comforted and encouraged your servant, although I am not like one of your female servants." So pause there. The first thing we notice here at verse 4, right off the bat, is that Boaz and the workers believed in God. He greets them with, "The Lord be with you." And they responded back with, "And the Lord bless you." Now remember, Ruth didn't grow up in this arena. She was from Moab. She wasn't familiar completely with the Jewish faith either. And I would guess she didn't even speak the language well. But she was familiar with their faith because of Naomi and her family and their influence. But how much even a simple greeting can put things in good order? How do you greet one another in your workplaces? I know these days we might even be chastised by people for saying things like "God bless you" or "Merry Christmas." It's sad, but I'm here to tell you that just as Boaz demonstrated, that's what God has for each one of you as well. God wants you to give blessings like these as you are greeted by the folks and that he sends your way. You can make a big difference in the people's day by that simple offering. You will get chastised. You will get maybe reported. You might get even persecuted in this regard, but God wants you to give these types of greetings. In Matthew 10:33, Jesus said, "Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny my Father in heaven." I'm telling you, there are Christians these days that will not say anything about the word Jesus Christ. They were afraid to present it. Well, I'll keep that in the church. They want to compartmentalize their life. And that is not God's will for you. Again, let me see. Jesus said, "Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Ouch. Ouch. Don't hide your faith, Christian. Speak like a Christ follower. Even today in the Middle East, as I was traveling in Israel, every person to come along the road almost would greet me with the word shalom. Shalom. They're not afraid, and they're in the middle of the Middle East. They're not afraid, and we shouldn't be afraid either. The next thing we see here in this section is that Boaz took care of Ruth, even though she was an outsider. We should be caring for people that God puts in our path. He didn't ignore her. He cared for her well-being. But he also put Ruth amongst the other women, though, in his care so that she would not even be in harm's way from the workers that were under him. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And we need to heed what Boaz is demonstrating here. It's showing that people that we love God, not being afraid to greet people like we do, and taking care of the people that God sends our way. Ruth recognized his generous care, and she thanked him. I love how these verses say she did it too. She bowed down. When's the last time you bowed down in thanking people, let alone thanking your God? We too should thank those that take care of us as well. I think sometimes we take people's kindness for granted more and more these days. Kind of reminds me like when I try to offer a kind gesture or support for a young person these days. There's something in the language that's kind of weird that causes them to just say, I'm good. I'm good. Not thank you, I'm good. Not I'm good, thank you. Just, hey, I'm good. I know that's the language of the day, but we need to be expressing gratitude for people. Gratitude. Gratitude for each other, and most importantly, gratitude to God. Next, notice how Boaz told Ruth, everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me. People are noticing, and people talk. They talk about the good deeds, and they talk about the bad deeds. They're reporting, as Boaz say, to one another. They gossip to one another or whatever. But people notice, and you might not think they do, but they do. As a Christian, we need to be good ambassadors for Christ. Always act as though somebody is watching. Because you know what? Somebody is watching. Jesus is watching. Amen? Verse 14 continues, says, at mealtime, Boaz told her, come over here and have some bread and dip it in vinegar sauce. Anyway, she sat beside the harvesters and he offered her roasted grain. She ate and was satisfied and had some left over. When she got up to gather the grain, Boaz ordered his young men, let her even gather the grain amongst the bundles and don't humiliate her. Pull out some stalks from the bundles for her and leave them for her to gather. Don't rebuke her. So Ruth gathered the grain in the field until evening. She beat out what she had gathered, and it was about 26 quarts of barley. She picked up the grain and went into town, where her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought out what she had left over from her meal, and she gave it to her. So this Ruth, she was a worker, man. In previous verses says that she came and has been on her feet since early morning, they said. And now according to this section of verses, it said, Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening. So she worked from early morning till evening gathering that grain. I would guess that the effort of gathering the leftover grain from the harvesters was not an easy task. But there were no complaints. As a matter of fact, her hard work was noticed by all, it seems. We all should be striving to be like Ruth here in these passages, working for our living. But sadly, we all know folks that just don't seem to care to work. That's just unfortunate, but it's true. I was contacted even by an old friend this last week, and they were talking about how they were head over heels in debt because they made some poor decisions, and they were struggling. I know so many people these days are struggling because they're not making good decisions, and they're not wanting to work as hard as they might want to should. When I asked them what they're doing about it, they effectively conveyed that since they were now, well, educated and degreed, they didn't want to just accept any old fast food workers anymore. They were looking for something more dignified and worthy of our credentials. They were crying on one hand and not doing anything on refusing to do something on the other. Let me tell you that if you have debt and burdens based upon your own poor decisions, I know they're painful to bear, but you should be working out that debt. You should be maybe even doing double time at whatever job that you can find to make yourself right. Ruth here was not too proud to pick up the leftover grains to support her family. And we should never be so proud that we are not willing to do what it takes to get out from underneath the challenges that we face, that we created in the first place. Be responsible, people. Be responsible. I recall when I first got my job at John Deere, I told a dear elder friend of mine, Chuck, not Hopwood, but another Chuck. I told him, he's an old fella, old codger. I told him, I got me a job, but it wasn't really starting at high too high. I was pretty much on the bottom rungs. His reply was classic. He says, well, the way I see it, the only place you start at the top is digging a hole. You know, he's right. He's right. But praise the Lord, it didn't take me, because of my work ethic, it didn't take me too far, too long to get up in a higher rung, because they saw my work and they were pleased with it. My father-in-law, who has infinite wisdom, constantly reminds me that the cream always rises to the top. And he's right. God wants you to work hard. God wants you to support your family. God wants you to pay your bills. But even more than all that, God wants you to be the cream that rises to the top. Ruth was supporting her family. She wasn't complaining. She was grateful to be picking up the leftovers. And we should be doing likewise. Boaz noticed Ruth. And the world too will notice you in that same regard. Verse 19 is our last section. It says, her mother-in-law said to her, where did you gather barley today? And where did you work? May the Lord bless the man who noticed you. Ruth told her mother-in-law, whom she had worked with, and said, the name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may the Lord bless him, because he has not abandoned his kindness to the living or the dead. Naomi continued, the man is a close relative. He is one of our family redeemers. Ruth the Moabitess said, he also told me, stay with my young men until they have finished all my harvest. So Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, my daughter, it is good for you to work with his female servants so that nothing will happen to you in another field. Ruth stayed close to Boaz's female servants and gathered grain until the barley and the wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law after that. So the tide is turning now for Ruth and Naomi. What seemed to be a doom and gloom situation has started to turn into a huge blessing. Naomi sees the hand of God working in her life. I love it when I see things coming together in a solution that makes it very obviously that God is working all around us too. I can't tell you how many times here lately I've felt the hand of God, the Holy Spirit moving around our situation, even here in this church, and how God has sent the people and the resources to do now great things for his glory. That video conveyed so well. It's just a piece of what was going on here, and what a joy it was. He shows up all around here for some reason. And on that, in that regard, I'm so blessed, and I'm sure many of you are as well. We all have been through tough times of famine where we did not feel God's presence. But these days that I'm living through now in this church feel, honestly, to me as kind of a time of plenty. A time of plenty. But because I've been through those hardship times before, both in church and out of church, I know when to appreciate what I see. And I will never take it for granted. I bow down on my knees and I pray to the Lord of hosts for his bountiful blessings that are seeing around this church. Amen? You all here today are part of this blessing, and I'm so grateful to God for His care and providence in this regard. Naomi is feeling God's presence now, and as we will see in the chapters to come, she will know that God had a plan all along. The one key verse out of this chapter 2 message that we have today is from my perspective is in verse 12, though, where Boaz said to Ruth, "May you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come up for refuge." Under whose wings you have come for refuge. What I want you to realize is that as Christians, we should all continue to seek refuge under the wings of God. God didn't invent you to be a lone duck out in the middle of the big pond here. He wants you to be under His refuge and to be in the refuge of the church and the church family. That's where He wants you to be. This reminds me, though, also of in this Quad Cities when it talks about eagles. And we're not unfamiliar with eagles. We got so many eagles around here. That's so cool, especially the bald eagles. I'm sure you all have seen them. When they take flight, it is the most beautiful and awe-inspiring thing to witness, isn't it? Their average wingspan is from 6 to 7.5 feet wide. They are mighty birds of prey, and they demand respect for sure. But let me tell you that God's wingspan is way bigger than all of our problems. Let me say it again. God's wingspan is much bigger than all of our problems. And we need to choose, like Ruth, to reside in the refuge of the Most High God. I love the verse that Jeremy read this morning from Isaiah 40. Thank you, Jeremy. "Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow faint." I have seen it, brothers and sisters. I have seen God hold the sun in the sky when I needed it to be held there. Maybe not, this is figuratively, not literally, but I have been able to accomplish so much in such a small time because of God's grace and mercy. And if you try to add it up, it doesn't add up. If you want to be blessed, then stay in the refuge of God. That's God's will for you today. Though your situation might look bleak at times, wisdom and experience should tell us, and Scripture does tell us, that we can overcome these difficult times. We have to put our trust, take refuge in Jesus Christ, and He will make our paths what?
Straight.
Yeah. When we finally get to heaven and we're standing before our Maker, I can't imagine what that'll be like. Boy. But He won't want to hear about your many accomplishments and your accolades. He won't want to hear about your degrees and your fantastic experiences. What God wants to hear is that you put your trust in the life of His wonderful Son, Jesus. And in that, He will have great joy, I'm sure, indeed. Please rise and let's close. But as we do so, we always sing a verse of Amazing Grace. And then after we do the Amazing Grace, I'm going to show you just a one-minute video. That's just one little video that encapsulates this little piece that we had here today. But let me pray first. Father God, I ask that You watch after us and guide us. Give us Your heart, Lord. Give us Your spirit, Lord, so we, like Ruth, can do the hard things when it's called upon. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for watching after us. Thank You, Lord, for Your bountiful blessings. And Lord, we humble ourselves in Your grand adoration. And Lord, we thank You to watch after us here today. And Father God, I pray that if anybody wants to accept Your calling on their life today, that they would come forward. That, Lord, if they want to join this church family and be part of Your solution here, that they would come forward. Or if they want to get baptized, this is the time to do it. Father, we love You. It's in Your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
Amen.
Please.
Thank you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was blind, but now I see.
Thank you all for being here today. It's lovely to see you. May God bless you and watch after you until we meet again. Don't forget, tonight at 4 o'clock, we have the youth and children program. And I'm looking so forward to that. God bless you. Have a great day. Go in peace.